All right, let's go to, if you will, Psalms chapter 6. Psalms chapter 6. Been going through the book of Psalms now. I'm not preaching every verse in every psalm, but this is a pretty short psalm. And what it is, it's a plea for mercy from David. You know, King David was a powerful, wonderful, spiritual man, but he also had problems too. And he needed mercy just like we do. And don't ever think that you're any lesser than anybody else. Everybody needs it. Everybody. Everybody needs grace. Everybody needs mercy. And so let's read the whole psalm, and then I'll come back and expound on a couple of verses, and I'm going to compare it to one in the New Testament. Psalm chapter 6, verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? I'm weary with my groaning. All the night I make my bed to swim. Amen. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eyes consumed because of grief. Is waxed old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. He will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. I want to talk to you just a little bit about the mercy of the Lord, okay? The psalmist in verse 4 says, for thy mercy's sake. He didn't ask for justice. He wasn't carrying a sign and protesting for justice. He was begging for mercy. Now, keep in mind, this is one of the greatest men that's ever walked planet Earth. He was a great man. He was a good man, a godly man, but he needed mercy. And the psalmist says, for thy mercy's sake, we can only approach him because he's a holy God. And because of his mercy, we have access to the Father through the Son. And our heart, as Christians, sometimes we should cry out for mercy. We shouldn't be happy with the way we are.
Amen.
And we are, according to verse 1 in Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. We need his mercy because he chastens us. He whips us.
Amen. Yeah.
God's not only angry with the wicked every day, he's angry with his children too. And I love my children, but I've been angry at them. Amen?
Amen.
If you didn't love your children, you wouldn't care. And thank God he chastens us. He whips us. Look, his mercy demands that he chastens us, not cast us off. Wouldn't it be something, Brother Ron, like a lot of people was raised to believe that Jesus died for your sins and he paid for them. And if you'll call on him, he'll save you. But after that, you got to keep yourself saved. Wouldn't that be a terrible life? Because it won't be but a day or two. You'll realize that you're out crying out for mercy again and asking for forgiveness again. That's why John says, if any man says he has no sin, he's a liar and the truth's not in him. He tells us to depart from sin. But he also is honest with us and tells us you're going to sin. And David had sinned, and you know the story of David, his life story. And David had sinned, and now he's being chastened in his spirit, in his heart. At night he can't sleep. He's weeping and crying on his pillow and laying on his couch, weeping and crying. And he says, David's telling his enemies to get away from him because now God has heard his prayer and seen his tears and is going to have mercy on him. So they need to leave him alone. So because God chastens us, we know he's got mercy.
Amen.
Amen. I don't understand how a parent could just cast off a child. I'd die before I'd do that. Some people say, you know, they would die for their children. They'd turn right around and just throw them away. Just throw them away. I don't see how a mother can give birth to a baby and throw it in trash cans. How can you do that? I don't understand how a father could look at a wayward teen boy and say, he's mean as the devil. You ain't my son anymore. How could a man do that? If you love your children, Hebrews chapter 12 says you chasten them. Now, that may mean a whipping or it may mean some other way of chastening. You know, when I was a kid, they would send me to the office sometimes. In junior high school, I'd end up in the office. I don't know why. I was such a sweet little boy. And I'd end up in the office. And back then, they had real men principals. Amen. Had big old hands. They were usually a former basketball coach or a football coach. And they usually had a paint handle with some leather straps on it about that long. And that man would say, you got your choice. You can take 10 licks with this or 3 days suspension. I said, whip me, because if I get suspended, mama's going to talk my ear off. She won't leave me alone. Whip me. Because I knew if he didn't whip me, mama was going to do get a broomstick or something after me. But I look back on that and I realize that my mama loved me. That's why she was chasing me. Then look at verse 2. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I'm weak, O Lord. Heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. Can you see it on the inside? In Lancaster, we say he's tore up. Y'all say that in Rock Hill? He's tore up. Yeah. Most of y'all say it because he's drunk. That's not what we meant. We meant he's tore up on the inside. And he said, I'm sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. Listen to what he says. For there in death there is no remembrance of thee. He said, Lord, if you whip me to death, I'm not going to be any good to you. That's what he's saying. And he said, in the grave, who shall give thee thanks? Lord, if you beat me to death, who's going to stand up and praise you in front of people and thank you in front of people? And how are you going to get the glory out of a dead man in a grave? David was a smart man, wasn't he? Mom, if you beat me to death, the law's going to get you. You know, David said, Lord, if you beat me to death, I won't be able to praise you. I won't be able to extol your excellence and your mercy and your grace. And so God chastened him. But why? Again, look at it. In verse 3, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. I am weak. But you know, the good thing about it is, Paul said, when we're weak, we're strong.
Yes.
And when you think you're strong, that's when you're weak. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, did you know most Christians are better Christians when they're sick?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, most Christians are very Christians when they just lost their job or gone through a divorce or their child's broken their heart. Why is that? Because this old flesh is weak. And sometimes it needs to be put down. The Lord has to chasten us. Because he's not going to cast us off. And there in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 5, he says it's better for this man if he'd get right with God than if God turned his flesh over to the devil. Now you listen to me. I'm just as weak as anybody else and so are you. And hey, look, I don't want what I deserve. I certainly don't want what I deserved before I was saved.
Amen.
And I don't want what I deserve since I've been saved. Now, I'm not what I used to be. Thank God I'm not what I used to be. But I ain't always what I ought to be either. And sometimes I'm what I ought not be. Come on.
Amen.
Amen. There ain't no halos around here. I don't see no angel wings sprouting out. Amen. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. And every day we battle it and we're weak. We give in. We're weak. Give you another example. Turn to Luke 18. Luke chapter 18. Paul's talking about mercy, the mercy of God. You know this. Luke 18 verse 9. All of you already know it. Luke 18 verse 9. If you're watching on Facebook, I wish you'd get you a Bible and turn to these. I know you in your pajamas, but you can still get a Bible out and turn to it. Amen. Amen. Luke 18. Look at verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. Oh my goodness. What did he say? Those who trusted in themselves. I don't trust me. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And because of that, it didn't say because of that, but it said, and despised others. If you're self-righteous, you'll look down on people. You'll do it. You better remember, except by the grace of God, there go I. I could be pushed a needle in my arm today. I come from that kind of people. I grew up with it. I could be laying in a ditch somewhere right now, throwing up and sleeping in my own vomit. I grew up with those kind of people. But it's just the grace of God that we are what we are. Amen. Amen. But we're still weak. And this is a parable that he told. Two men went up to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee. Now, you know, I taught you about Pharisees in Sunday school. They were all self-righteous legalists. They thought they were going to heaven because they kept every bit of the law. Or at least they thought they did. They kept the outer law, not the moral law. And one was a Pharisee and the other one was a publican. When you think of the publican, think of somebody that was a public sinner. He lived publicly. And now one was a real religious, self-righteous man. The other one was a man who had no claim on religion at all. None at all. All right. And the two went up to pray into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and he prayed thus himself. God. You ever heard him say God? God. I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers. He didn't put liar in there, did he? Even as this publican. Now there wasn't but two people in the building, so he knew who he was talking about. Amen?
Amen.
I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, long way from the altar, he had nothing to offer. Standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes under heaven. Can you see that publican looking up and telling God how he ought to love him because he is so great? And here's this poor publican way back there at the back. And the Pharisee done pointed him out to God, made a comparison. And the man didn't argue with him.
Right.
And the man just held his head down like this. And he didn't even lift up his eyes. But you know what he did? He smote his breast. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's it. Watch out for these people that write books that say 12 steps to salvation. 6 steps to eternal life. There's one step. That's turn to Jesus Christ and you shall be born again. This man, look, he felt so bad and that's a sign of remorse. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Is that not what David said?
Yes.
I tell you, Jesus said, I tell you, this man, which one? The last one. Went down to his house justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Justified rather than the other, the Pharisee. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased or put down. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I thank God for his mercy more than I thank God for anything else.
Amen.
He's long-suffering. And he's good toward us because he's merciful. Because we have a tendency to sin. I do. What's that song, Lord, I'm prone to wander? What's the song? Help me. Y'all know what? Yeah, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, and lead the Lord I love. Hey, listen. Listen. We've all got it. Got a nurse back here, got her uniform on. We can't tell who she is, though, because she's wearing a mask, but we know who she is. But she's wearing that mask for our sake because she works with sick people. But listen. We have a disease called sin.
Amen.
And it jumped on us the day we were born. And we'll battle this disease till the day he takes us out of here.
Amen.
And though we don't like it, nobody likes to be sick, especially men. Men are wimps. We can build buildings and bust rocks, but we can't take the flu. Amen. We'll lay there and cry like a baby. My wife would stick her head in the door and say, "You all right?" I say, "I'm dying. Get me something." She'll say, "You'll be all right." I said, "I'm hurting." She said, "You ain't hurting. You ain't never had a baby. You don't know what hurting is." My mama had 9. Why would a woman do that? But we are contaminated. We are infected. And this sin causes us to wander, Brother Ron.
Yes.
Tomorrow, before the sun goes down, this old mind of mine will wander somewhere it ought not go.
Yeah.
And this old heart will have a tendency to be drawn with that mind.
Yeah.
And it's just by the grace of God we do not follow. Now, it used to be we just would have jumped on the boat and went with it.
Yeah.
Hey, look, that looks good. Let's try that. And I was saying, "No, I can't do that. Help me, Lord. I'm weak. Help me. Have mercy, Lord."
Amen.
Because of our tendencies of sin and because of the consequences of sin, we ask for mercy. You know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to sing that song, "Nothing in my hand I bring, only to the cross I cling." I'm sure any good works I've done has been canceled out by the stupidity of sin by now.
Come on, brother.
Amen. You say, "Well, I ain't robbed no banks like I used to." Yeah, but you know, if you thought about it, you did it. Amen. Now, because, look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. Again, back to chapter 6. Psalm chapter 6. Look at verse 8. I'm going too long. I promised I was going to get through on time. "Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping." You know why he gives us mercy? Because we cry.
Come on, sir.
Now, I had 3 daughters, and I spanked them the first 2 some. But 6 years later, when that one surprised us, I done lost my spanking abilities. I didn't know what to do with the first 2. I had 4 sisters, and I didn't know what to do with a female. I didn't know nothing about females. All I knew, they were made out of sugar and spice and everything nice, and I wasn't supposed to touch them. That's what they told me. And if you hit a girl, if I hit a girl, whoa, no, no, no. And girls didn't fight back, by the way. All they had to do was go to mom and say, he hit me. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you something. When those girls came along, sometimes I'd get some mad and I'd want to whip them. I'd want to just beat the devil out of them, and they'd start crying. You might as well forget it right there. Girls know that, by the way, men.
Yeah.
It's a tool. They got a box of secret tools they use on us. And that's one of them crying. Can't stand to see one cry. Amen. Amen. And, hey, if all Roy gets crying, I say, toughen up, shut up. If my wife gets crying, I say, what can I do? You know, one of my daughters, my granddaughters, that beautiful young granddaughter of mine that y'all like so much, that little redheaded one. She's just so pretty and cute and sweet. And she can go from this to... She got mad at me one day. I told her no. She was 2 years old then, I think. And I told her no, and she went... And she walked about 3 feet from me, and she just stopped and stood there like this. I said, whatever you want, just tell me. But God loves his children that way too. God sees our tears. Matter of fact, there's another verse that says he puts them in a bottle. And he saves them. And they're all up in heaven waiting on us. Let me tell you something. God heard David's cry. David was no better than me and you. David was no better of a believer. He was no better of a Christian. But let me tell you something. When he cried, God heard his cry. Now he cried all night. He might have wept for days. But God heard his cry. Sometimes it don't hurt you to cry a little while before God answers your prayers. Sometimes it'll help you. But because we cry, he has mercy.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you who don't have mercy on. That crowd, you know, and they just live any old way and act any old way and talk any old way. And they say to Christians, and boy, the old preacher, he'll get hot and heavy on him, you know, and he'll preach right down their alley. You ever had your alley preached down? It's when you say you stepped on my toes. And the old preacher will preach right down their alley, you know, and that old hardened, if he ever was saved, saint walks out and says, I don't care what that preacher says. I don't care what the Bible says. I know what I like. Well, I got news for you. You'll have to cry a lot longer than the rest of us. Amen. You're going to get a whipping. You ain't going to believe. Amen. If you're saved. And then, of course, in Hebrews chapter 12, he says he chastens every son whom he receiveth. And he says, if you be without chastisement, you're a bastard. That's not a cuss word. People made that into a cuss word. It means fatherless son. So when they call you that, that's an insult. It's a curse word because it's an insult accusing you of not knowing who your father was. Amen. And God said, if you can get by with sin and he does not whip you, he is not your father.
Amen.
You ever looked at Christians and say, how do they live that way? How do they talk like that and they're Christians? How do they dress like that and they say they're Christian? And by the way, there ought to be a check closed at every door so these kids go into Walmart and places, the rest of us don't have to look at them.
Yes.
Amen. There's so much I can say right there, but listen, God whips his children.
Yes.
Why? Because he loves us. But when we cry, he gives us mercy. And if you can live any old way, talk any old way, walk any old way, hang around with any old body, do any old thing, and just show up to church every once in a while and say, yeah, I'm a Christian, I got a feeling you don't really know who your father is.
Amen. Come on.
If he hadn't chastened you.
Amen.
So I didn't have a father chasing me. I was one of those people, physically speaking. And so God... He chastens us. We cry. Here's how it works. We sin because we're weak. We sin He chastens us. We weep. We cry. God hears our prayer. And he pours out the mercy and says, it's going to be all right. I'm going to take care of it. Look at verse 9 and 10. In verse 9, he says, the Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. He's got confidence that God has heard him and will always hear him. And then he says, let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. Those people that call you hypocrite and those that criticize you and put you down and belittle and persecute you, and a lot of them claim they're Christians. And you know what? When you cry out to God, when the chastening's over, here's how it goes. You're weak, you sin, and they say, look at what old Ron did. I told you he was a hypocrite. I told you he wasn't really saved. And then while they're talking bad about you and making fun of you and everything else, God's chastening you, and then you're weeping, and then one day you wake up and your pillow's soaking wet, and you cry out to God, God has mercy on you, and then you can go back like David did, and he said, now Lord, let all my enemies be ashamed and sore vexed that they were like that.
Yes.
I've said a million times, Christian, you keep doing right, you live long enough, you'll outlive that crowd. And by the way, you probably will if you're right. Because the way of the transgressor is hard, not the same. And he's going, hey, you'll probably outlive those critics. You'll probably outlive those backbiters and the gossips. And we all got them. Amen? Come on. We've all had enemies. We didn't hate them, they hated us. They were jealous and things like that. Now, because of that, the results of his mercy is that our testimony is established. Our going forth keeps going, and God gets the glory.
Amen.
Because of his mercy. You know, ain't nobody ever looked at me and said, you know, Ron Roddy, he's been a sorry Christian, but boy, he sure has picked himself up and straightened himself out. I ain't never heard that. I don't want to hear it either, because it'd be a lie. But sometimes I've heard people say, Brother Ron, I don't know how you kept going. You just kept on going anyway, and God's blessed you for it. I said, yeah, that's God. God does that. And so the results is mercy. But you know something else about mercy, and I'll quit. The mercy of God is there. It's there. Just like salvation is there. It's there. It's available. But you must access it. You've got to receive it for it to be any good. God's full of mercy. God's long-suffering. He wants to give mercy. But if you just go around and feeling sorry for yourself all the time and get out of the will of God and get out of church and get out of reading the Bible and get out of trying to live the Christian life, God's not going to say anything about mercy to you because you don't want it. You're feeling real good at being sorry for yourself.
Come on.
Preacher said, wilt thou be made whole? That's why I hate a preacher to be in my office. I'm just missing. No, I'm teasing. I remember when I was a young preacher, the pastor would be preaching, I'd be sitting there reading, I said, well, he didn't say nothing about that. But look, Sister Mary, the reason I have mercy over and 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 over that God's given me mercy is because I've sought it. I seek it. Well, preacher, if you do that, people think that you've sinned. I have.
Yeah.
Well, if you do that, they'll think that you're not a strong Christian. I'm not.
Right.
I'm weak.
Yes.
Paul, hey, David said, I'm weak, Lord. And when you think that you stand, you're going to fall anyway.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
And then you'll be looking for some mercy. I'm glad for his mercy. We talk about his amazing grace. Thank God for his grace, undeserved love. But mercy is a double dose. Mercy is a double dose. By his grace, he saved me. Now he's given me mercy all along the way. I hope y'all have received it. If you haven't, you don't have to live a defeated life. You don't have to be, and certainly you don't want to be the Pharisee thinking everybody's lesser than you are. You've already failed there. You need mercy. But you don't have to be defeated. You can get the mercy. All you got to do is ask for it. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then you read the scripture in 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all sin.
Amen.
Let's stand. Father, thank you for your mercy. Wonderful, wonderful. We sing about the marvelous, matchless grace. But what about this wonderful, matchless mercy? Thank you, Father. Lord, forgive us. We are weak.
Thank you, Lord.
Give us strength this week, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Ghost and fill us with your power and your presence so that everywhere we go, others might see Christ in us and ask us what is different about you. And we can give them the good old story of Jesus and his love. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the faithful people. And we just ask you to bless us now in the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. If the Lord spoke to you, the altar's open. You can get mercy.
219. 219.